Hello, and welcome to Soarin' Over D23, the ultimate Disney fan event.
It is time. Welcome to the new Disney Experience Showcase. I've got a lot to share.
We are doubling the size of Avengers Campus.
We're adding 4 more cruise ships to our fleet. A major new Lion King attraction.
A new nighttime parade.
This isn't Blue Sky. We are going to do all of this. We are building a villain's land at the Magic Kingdom. An audio animatronic figure of Walt.
Nice work, pal.
W Radio. Your information station.
Hello, my friend, and welcome to the WW Radio Show, your guide to the Disney parks, experiences, movies, and more. I am your host, Lou Mangiello, and this is show number 796. And together, as we have been since 2004, I want to not only help you have the best possible Disney vacation experience when you go to the parks, but I also want to bring you a little bit of that Disney magic wherever you are, here on the podcast, my weekly live video, blog, events, newsletter, and more. Please join the community and find everything at www.radio.com. At D23, the ultimate Disney fan event, Disney Experiences Chairman Josh D'Amaro revealed a groundbreaking lineup of new attractions, lands, and projects that I think really solidify and highlighted Disney's bold vision for the next decade. And the event was a remarkable milestone for many reasons, and the very highly anticipated Disney Experiences Showcase fulfilled wishes, and I think, at least for me, exceeded expectations. And I had the incredible opportunity and privilege to sit down one-on-one with Disney Experiences Chairman Josh D'Amaro the morning after his presentation to discuss the event, fan speculation, wishes, expectations, responses, and much more. And it's a very candid and personal conversation that offers unique insight into the strategy and mission, legacy, and message from this year's presentation. Josh takes us behind the scenes, emphasizing the connection between the company and its fans, and I was remarkably impressed with Josh's transparency, particularly illustrating the importance of listening to fan feedback, including criticism, to understand better and meet high expectations, which I think underlines his humility and I think dedication to the Disney community. And I did not take the responsibility of being granted this interview lightly, and rather than, in the very limited but incredibly generous time I had with Josh, try and touch on every single individual announcement and attraction, I instead wanted to focus on the important overarching and significance of the event and the relationship of the company to its fans like you and me. So I invite you to pull up a chair and sit at the table with me and Josh and hopefully find our conversation as enjoyable, insightful, and rewarding as I did. And of course, huge thanks to Josh, who is someone who I didn't think I could like and respect anymore, but who gave me new appreciation of him as both a fan and a leader. And of course, I want to hear from you. I'd love to know what you think of my conversation with Josh. You can come share your thoughts over in the WW Radio Clubhouse at wwradio.com/clubhouse or call the voicemail. Share your thoughts there. I'll play it on the air. 407-900-9391. That's 407-900-WDW1. I'm also going to skip the trivia question this week. I want to focus solely on my conversation with Josh. And if I sound a little different this week, I apologize. I am recording in my hotel room, not on my studio microphone, after many days of nonstop talking on the show floor. But it was important for me to share this with you as soon as possible. So I appreciate your understanding and patience in terms of the quality of my audio. And of course, I'm going to have much, much more from and about D23, including breakdowns of the announcements from Disney Studios, Disney Plus, and of course, Disney Parks and Experiences, both on the podcast, and I want to hear and have you be part of the community and conversation, so we'll also be talking about it on upcoming live episodes, so please stay tuned for those as well. But please connect and talk with me on social. I am at Lou Mangiello on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn. Visit LouMangiello.com if you're looking for a speaker, or if you want to take your business brand or idea to the next level. And if you like what you hear, and I hope that you do, please share the show and tell a friend. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this very special episode of the WW Radio Show. Josh, first, thank you so much for being incredibly generous with your time. It has been, oh, what a night. And for you, oh, what a few years of dreaming and doing and planning and preparing for last night's epic, to say the least, event. You know, for so long, I've been hearing you and Bob talking about turbocharging the experience for guests and sort of waiting and counting down for last night. I didn't know what that meant or even what to expect. Now we do. So my first question to you, on behalf of not just the 12,000 plus fans who were in the room last night, but the tens of millions of fans around the world whose lives you literally changed last night. My first question is, can I give you a hug? Because I think that is what we all felt and wanted to do.
If we didn't miss our microphone, that's right. I would reach across the table and give you a hug. Let me start with, first of all, thank you. I appreciate all of that sentiment. There's nothing like being at a D23. It's my favorite thing to do. You know, we're in the convention space today, but walking around and being able to interact with true fans, people that really, really care about the Disney company, about the brand, about the experience, who have long histories with us, but to be able to walk with all of the fans and hear them and listen to their stories and listen to their dreams and what they hope I was going to announce before last night. There's absolutely nothing like it. You referenced the fact that I think over about a year ago or so, we had talked about turbocharging the business and $60 billion coming into the theme parks. And I know that anticipation was high for what does that mean and are they serious? I think after last night, you can see that we are incredibly serious. So obviously in the background, I'm working with the Imagineers, I'm working with the different teams around the world, and I knew all of this. I knew how ambitious we were going to be. I knew how quick we were going to move. So you can imagine last night, so 13,000 people screaming in the Honda Center before I took that first step onto the stage, I knew what I was about to deliver to our biggest fans in the world. And I was incredibly excited, and at certain points during the presentation moved, and it was a special night. It was a special night for me. It was a special night for Imagineering. It was a special night for our fans, and I'm proud. I'm proud of what we're doing, and you know, the reaction that I've gotten just walking around today on the floor is just thank you and wow, and we didn't see that coming, and I love that. I think that's what we should be doing.
And you referenced expectations and realizing that they were high, very high, right? The little bit of pressure was on. You referenced it. Deadpool reference. Sure. Referenced it. The fact that Deadpool, speaking of things we never expected to see at a D23 event on stage, is Deadpool sort of making reference to those things. But I think
they're making fun of me, by the way.
Well, we'll get to the fact that very sort of a lot of self-awareness and self-reflection, but you clearly listen and have paid attention, I think, understood that, knew that you had to deliver, and I think over-deliver on some of those sometimes overly high fan expectations. And as you may or may not know, the internet can be a fickle friend and fan. So speak to that a little bit in terms of recognizing that sometimes fan expectations are not just high, sometimes a little unreasonable, and knowing what, as you stepped foot on stage, what many fans were hoping for, looking for, and expecting.
I'll start with the fact that I'm a fan, right? I've been, first of all, around the brand my whole life. I've been a cast member for 26 years. I started, you know, right across the street at the Disneyland Resort in an entry-level position. So I think everything starts there. Are you truly connected with the brand? Are you connected with the cast members? Are you connected with the ethos of the company? Are you connected with the fans? I start every single day that way. Like I feel like the luckiest guy in the world that I get to lead this part of the business and show up every morning and stay late into the night, absolutely loving what I do.
That comes through. You referenced being on the show floor here. I've watched you, not in a weird way, but I've watched you in the parks and resorts as you walk around. And I've said this both publicly and privately. One of the things that I admire so much about you is that you are not just a true fan, but the way that you meaningfully engage and interact with every single person you speak to, right now. You, the way you look somebody in the eye, you listen to their story, you give them the hug, whatever sort of interaction that they're looking to have with you. And it's so genuine. And you make every person feel like they are not just the most important person in the room, but the only person in the room. And I think that's, it's not just a gift, but I think that's why you being on stage resonates so much with us as fans.
I appreciate that. And listen, I think that sometimes the simplest things in life are the most powerful things in life. I think this comes from my family and my mother and father. But to your point, look somebody in the eye, listen to their story, let them express, you know, what their dreams are, let them express what their concerns might be, and really listen. And it's so back to your question, that's what I try to do. I know what I want. I know what I dream about. But when you stop in the park or you stop on the convention floor and you let somebody express that, by the way, the great and the not so great, right? Like I got a lot of, I can't believe how much you guys announced last night. That was amazing. And I got a fair amount of, I wish you had said this or that. And you know what? I think that's completely fine. Yeah. I think that's completely fine. I mean, what other company or brand in the world has so many people watching and hoping and giving you input? You know, having worked at the Disneyland Resort for so long, and you know, when we were opening Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, and we were making some of the changes around the park to make sure that we were prepared. These little things inside of the park that people have a connection to in some way, or believe in for some reason, or know the story behind it, that's important. And sometimes we're going to have to make some changes that people aren't going to love. But anytime we do that, I want to make sure first I hear what you're worried about, what you're concerned about. I want to make sure you hear my point of view. Well, I think this is where we could go. But all of that I take very seriously. And I'm okay if somebody's got a different point of view on something, or if somebody's got a wish that I haven't yet stood on stage and talked about, because that's going to then mm-hmm. be in my mind and I'm going to be thinking about it. So I take that all very, very seriously. Like I'm humbled by the opportunity that I have here and to walk around the floor and people recognize me. It's not because of Josh. It's because that people love Disney.
Because of Josh.
Well, I'm not sure about that, but I really, really want to do my best for everyone. And I think last night just felt so good. Yeah. I mean, to stand up on that stage and feel the energy coming back at all of the cast up there with all of these announcements. Just an amazing night.
The energy in that room, which is why being there is so incredible, and it's a privilege because it's, especially last night, it was part concert, part Super Bowl, part sneak peek sort of behind the curtain, at heart, still a fan event. I think every one of us sitting in the audience, no matter where we were sitting, we felt like you were speaking directly to us. One of the things that I know that struck me, and I've had a lot of conversations since last night, was just how very self-aware you and the company were. And not just about you, but you show the guests that you see them, right? You see us, you're listening, you get it, you understand. Some of the jokes, you know, were very funny, but also, you know, very pointed. Like you were sort of acknowledging things that you've heard fans talking about. And I think really hit home with us, not just because they were funny, but like they are listening. They do get it. They're here. Talk about the decision to be so honest, so self-reflective, because I think that in and of itself was and is a huge gift to fans, because I think it's an expression of the trusted relationship that you and the company has with each one of us.
Yeah, that's a great question. There's a lot in there. I'll start with the most basic thing to me, and that is I believe fans of any company, but particularly the Walt Disney Company, they want to see human beings that are running this place. They want to know the people that are leading or performing actually care, that they're part of it and not just doing a job. I'm doing air quotes here, but not just doing a job. And so I want to make sure all of our fans see people, whether that's me or a frontline cast member or an Imagineer, like real people who are not perfect in any way, but have big dreams and hopes and beliefs in where we should go in the future. And I think the more that we can recognize that publicly, I think the more the interaction just builds and the trust, I think, to your point, bills. And so it's funny, you know, you do a show like that and you can feel the team a little bit like, oh my gosh, Josh, you're going to be okay with this? I'm like, totally. Yeah, I've worn a tight sweater or two. In Deadpool, you can make fun of me on that. Or Fantasmic, you know, like we think about all these things. Like they're real. We know when we're not perfect. We know when we've done something really good. And we know that we're going to keep pushing things forward in the future. But if you can see kind of humanity, real people who are involved with taking care of these treasures that we have around the world, it's incredibly powerful. And again, I love being part of that.
Yeah, there was a few times, especially during, you mentioned the Fanta, I'm like, did they sneak that one by somebody? That was, you know, did they slip that slide in right before? But, you know, about the, again, from the fan perspective, there was so much speculation before, and it's part of the fun, right? We all did it. Some of us put it out there on our podcasts, and right, wrong, or otherwise, it is a lot of fun because we don't care to a certain degree if we're right or wrong. Like the fun is just in guessing. You know, for me, I said the thing that I was most excited about was the things that I was getting wrong, didn't even talk about, right? I wanted the unexpected jaw drop moment, and it delivered in spades because it happened more than once. There were so many times that nobody saw this coming. However, I will say we have a Disney Cruise Line balloon in our booth. I'm not saying
that. By the way, I saw that. It looks spectacular. Your team did an amazing job on that, actually walking onto the floor. I think it was like one of the first things that I saw. So you must have been thinking I was going to say something there. Maybe not four.
We did,
but you were definitely thinking I was going to say something there.
Yeah, we're like, they're going to talk, you know, treasure and destiny and adventure. When you said four ships, I may have been screaming to myself in my phone, but there is so much of that. I never saw that coming, right? It's so hard to do with the internet being what the internet is. Four new ships, cars in Frontierland, the Stark Flight Lab, Monsters, Inc., you know, coming to...
That door coaster, by the way.
Yeah.
That is going to be phenomenal. So the Imagineers... they're excited about all of this, but they've been dreaming about this one for a while. And I've been having these conversations and we're ready for it now, but you got to imagine what that feels like. I know what's about to come here. And
right. How satisfying is that moment for you?
It's so satisfying just to let the world know that we're doing it and it's official. We're not just thinking about it. We're going after this, and have Billy Crystal up there, who I thought was great, kind of bantering with me. It's spectacular. And then when you get that reaction, and we had a lot of them last night, as you know, you get that reaction back from the fans. It's incredibly validating.
And I love being able to see your reaction because you are a fan and you're not just, you know, an executive in a position that's delivering a message. Like I could almost sort of get a sense of like joy and pride. Like, yeah, this is exactly what we wanted, and maybe even more so in terms of the fan response. You mentioned the Monsters, Inc. attraction. One of the things I think a lot of us not just enjoyed and appreciated was that everything that you announced is new, right? There was no sort of like, let's just copy and paste and put things here and there. There's a mix of completely new attractions and characters and IP, ones that touch on sentiment. You know, Monsters, Inc., I remember back in 2007, there was the rumor of this door coaster. The time is right, probably even more right now for a lot of reasons. But I love this idea of, and I think we've seen this over years, this sense of nostalgia, right, and sentiment. You know, what's old and new. Talk about the importance of sentiment in when you are trying to decide which attractions are the ones you're going to greenlight and announce at an event like this.
Well, I'll start with the fact that at the Walt Disney Company, we're incredibly privileged to have all of this intellectual property that we have. And when it comes ultimately down to making a decision, it's about balance, making sure that you're bowing down to legacy in some regard, and making sure that you're kind of stoking those emotions that people have with something like the Monsters franchise, which we definitely wanted to do here, but also being cognizant of the fact that we're going to want new and fresh. There's this generational effect that takes place across the Walt Disney Company, where a parent may take a child to something that was so important to them. Monsters, Inc., maybe, for example. And you can imagine them walking through this land or maybe getting on the door coaster together. But we also want to make sure that we're inviting in new generations of fans. And we might lean into Marvel, like we have at Avengers Campus, a little bit more aggressively, because that's then going to kind of keep the cycle going. And we're seeing that everywhere. I was up on stage yesterday, and some of this might feel like convenient script writing. These are actually real stories that are important to me. This idea that my father took me on Peter Pan's flight right across the street here. And I can remember this so vividly, where it was me and my brother and two sisters and my father saying, "It's going to feel like you're flying, kids. Like, you're not going to believe this." And we got on that attraction, and he looked over at me. It was such a good feeling. Even as a kid, I can imagine how he felt as a father. He's like, he kind of looks over at me like, see, it feels like you're flying. And we all smile back at him. And then I literally did the same thing at Soarin' Over California here in Disney California Adventure. I mean, without thinking about it, said, "It's going to feel like you're flying, kids, when you get on this thing." It's amazing how that whole thing works. And it's happening everywhere. And again, I said this on stage last night. Everyone, you have one of those stories or 10 of those stories that you're passing on to somebody else. So back to your broad question, like, it's all in balance here. I want to make sure we bow down again to those memories and that legacy and all this unbelievable storytelling that we have, and then pushing the envelope on the new, because those will become the classics in the future. And what an honor, like, to be in a position where I get to listen, number one, to the fans, and then make these decisions that will be forever kind of decisions. I absolutely love that, and feel really, really lucky to be sitting here being able to make some of these decisions.
And I love the fact that you shared that story. You probably cannot see the face of every guest. I will tell you, there was not a dry eye in the house, right? And as a father, like, I'm getting choked up right now. I'm like, God, why didn't I say that to my kids when I took them on Soarin' for the first time?
But you probably said something. Everybody did that in some way. And by the way, just when I'm up there on stage and saying that stuff, I feel it in my throat as well, because it's real. And everybody's going to express it in some different way. I mean, you got tens of thousands of people out here. They will all have that same thing. They've exchanged something on an attraction or in front of a character or in one of our restaurants or on Main Street, wherever it was. It's there. It's real. And it's powerful. And so what an amazing company this is. And you, by the way, think about what happened two nights ago, with Alan Bergman and the studios team. I mean, unbelievable. Inside Out 2, Deadpool, and the slate that they have coming up is so powerful. And having Bob Iger back and helping, him helping shepherd that story. It's been incredible. And what happens then is all of that then becomes fuel for the Disney Experiences team to think about, how are we going to bring this to life? Like, how are we going to tell that story in another form? How are we going to keep that generational effect going? So it's a good time at the Walt Disney Company right now.
And it's a great time to be a Disney fan. Like, but like, you hit on it, right? And I love the fact that you shared that story and got emotional. I even saw when Bob, I feel bad calling him Bob, but when Bob was getting off the stage and the crowd went wild, he sort of had this moment that he like touched his heart. And I think that was like, it was so subtle, but so genuine, because the reason why we love this company, right? The reason why I love Disney so much is because we do have an emotional connection, whether it's a movie, a character, a song, a park, a memory. And last night was very much grounded. There was a lot of emotional moments, yeah. Whether it was, again, so many of the incredible performers and performances there. Let's talk about Walt, right? Let's talk about Walt and this idea that's been in the hallowed halls of Imagineering for all these years. Yeah. Again, the first thing I think of is this huge pressure, this responsibility, and being so smart to work with Walt's family. And I love that when you're celebrating Disneyland's 70th anniversary, you're celebrating Walt first, right? The first thing you let out with was Walt. So how does this come about? Like, why, now is the time, now is the best time to have what I imagine has to be a very long and slow, methodical process of bringing Walt to life in this way.
Yeah. I mean, great, great big question. Let me start right on the front, if I could, with your observation of Bob Iger on the stage. That was another moment, even for me, and I know for leaders and cast members, to see your leader stand up on stage in front of 13,000 people, and people stand up and applaud. I asked Bob about this. He did touch his heart, and he was emotional on the inside, and maybe a little bit on the outside as well. And I think it's so important that we have Bob here at this time. And when he says that, you know, our job is to bring joy to the fans, again, it's not just a convenient thing to say on stage or because it happens to be on the teleprompter. Like, he's living that, you know. He and I are talking all, like, every day. He'll call me and say, how are we thinking about this one? Where are we going on this one? What do you think about this? And that's special. That's special to have somebody leading the Walt Disney Company that's got that same attachment to the fans and the brand and belief in the future. And again, I feel like the luckiest guy in the world to be able to work directly with him. And Bob and I have talked a lot about bringing Walt into this new format, letting people experience what it would feel like to be in a room with Walt. And you have to take this very seriously. This is Walt Disney. And so we want to make sure that the story we're telling, number one, is authentic, that the way it comes to life through technology, not for technology's sake, but because we want people to feel like they're there with Walt, it's a serious endeavor. And we're taking our time, and we're making sure that we're breathing through this. I did have a chance to bring Roy Disney over. He was in the audience with us last night. He came over to Imagineering, and we walked in, and I showed him where we were on it. And you can imagine that moment, walking into Imagineering and standing in front of Walt with Roy Disney. And it's complete silence as we both just stand there and stare. He looked at me for a moment. I looked back at him. And then there was just a smile. It's incredibly special. In that whole show last night, this was one of the moments that I was most excited about. I spoke with Meghan Trainor before she came out, and I think Feed the Birds, it was stunning what she did. But she and I spoke for a bit, and she was moved by the fact that we asked her to come and sing, and she's a true Disney fan and liked this discussion about bringing Walt to life. She felt a huge responsibility on stage last night to reflect the emotion and importance of the moment. Mm. When I came out for that moment, because it was so special to me as a fan, because I grew up at Disneyland, you know, you can feel your throat start to close up a little bit. And I was excited to share that with the world. It was important to me that they understood that we were taking this so seriously. And it was important for me to let the world know that the Disney family is also involved. So it was really special for me. I love the fan reaction. And I think when this comes to life during the 70th anniversary at Disneyland, it's going to be an immediate fan favorite.
Yeah, because there were, again, I have dozens of questions about dozens of announcements. We have a limited amount of time. But, you know, whatever guests might have taken away as the one they're, quote unquote, most excited for, I think that's the one that's the most meaningful, right? And the one that we are so looking forward to, because we know it is going to be an emotional moment for us, because we all have a connection to Walt, the man that's going to be represented here.
Yeah.
In terms of the announcements, I love the fact that you very much stayed true to your word about it not being blue sky, right? You were listening. And more importantly, I think everything had a date, right? And a lot of those dates are in 2025. So why was it important to not only talk about things, again, shovels and dirt, but date certain, and to reference this year's event theme, that are very much on the horizon?
Yeah. Well, you know, listen, a couple of years ago, I stood up on stage and I shared our ambition in terms of where we were going. One of the things that was important to me was to make sure that the fans saw behind the scenes a little bit. They knew what we were actually thinking about. And you might imagine I got some feedback on that internally and externally, like, you can't do it that way. And I'm like, no, let's show them. I said, I get to go into Imagineering every day and I'm seeing what a Scott Trowbridge is working on. I'm seeing what an Ali Rubenstein is working on. Like, it's beautiful. And I want to share that with the world. And we did. And I called some of it Blue Sky, but I wanted everybody to know, like, this engine's running hot and we've got some amazing things on the horizon. So now this year, like I said, we get some feedback on that. Are they serious? Well, now you know we're serious. But it was important for me to tell our fans, we're not only serious, but this is coming like now, like soon. So this isn't, we're not just concepting here. We are going after this. And in many cases, actually, the infrastructure and dirt that's moving. And in all cases, these are real plans. So when you talk about Monsters, Inc., and you talk about Door Coaster, there are models already. Like, this is all real stuff. When you talk about, what we're doing with Villains, which, by the way, oh my gosh, this is going to be insane. Like, they're deep in that. And so I wanted fans to know this is real. Like, we're going after this. You're going to feel it. You're going to see this. You're not going to have to wait, for another generation. Like, it's going to happen now. And we got a pretty good response from that.
Yeah, it's interesting when you talked about, 2022 and this vision of the short and long-term future. I was like, are they just trying to sort of test the reactions and see what the temperature is, or was it a red herring all along? You don't have to answer that question. Again, I have so much that I wish that I could ask you. Because
we'll spend more time together.
I would love that, because when we left, our brains were wonderfully mushy trying to process it all for you. I felt like a kid at Christmas whose parents just kept on reaching out under the tree and taking out like present after present after present. And it was just one gift after another. I hoped for a single jaw drop moment. We got them in spades. It was an emotional night for everybody. My last question to you is for you, like, how do you feel today, right? Like, you as Josh, the executive, as the leader of an incredible cast, and as, after such what have to be an emotional night for you as well.
I'm proud. I'm the person that gets to stand up there on stage and deliver all of this fantastic news and feel the crowd reacting to it and walk this floor and have people yell thank you or what their favorite piece was. Like, I'm the one that gets to receive all of that. But my pride is as much as it is about the announcements, it's about this team that I have. It's really incredible. It's 26 years ago when I got here, the first meetings that I went into and I looked around the table for the people that were sitting there, I didn't know what I was doing yet. But what I did realize right away is that every person at that table cared and was smart and was thinking about the fan and was thinking about the future, making sure that we had thought through every single detail. And so behind me, the one who gets to stand up there on the stage, are almost 200,000 cast members. And every one of them, in some way, is touching this, like making it come to life, is giving me the confidence to say, yes, let's go do that. And I think it's the most special thing about the Walt Disney Company. So this morning when I walked onto the convention floor, I do this thing called Out and About for the cast members. I've been doing it basically since I was president of Disneyland. And the objective of that is to say, I'm here on the convention floor today representing all of you, the cast members of the Walt Disney Company. And I got to stand on stage last night and tell the world what we're about to do. And I am incredibly proud and gracious. The team is incredible. I love the cast members here. I hope I did them proud, but I'm feeling really, really good about the future.
Good. Well, dreams really do come true at the Disney parks at D23, even the ones that we didn't know that we had. I obviously, you're probably just getting started. Last thing, in a word or two, what's your final message to Disney fans around the world?
I hope I did you proud. I hope you hear your voices and everything that we talked about last night. And I think I would just say thank you. It's what a blessing it is to have millions of fans around the world who care so deeply about this brand and these places. And I promise I am going to do my absolute best to keep things going in an exciting way for the future. So a huge thank you to all the fans out there. And a huge thank you to you and your team and, you know, keeping the community alive and the discussion going. It's important to us. I love talking to you today.
Thank you. I really appreciate again your time, and again, on behalf of everyone that you touched last night, thank you.
Thank you.